He only had two worms. Noah? Okay,
your turn. What is a Christian's favorite type of sunscreen? SPF, saved and protected forever.
Okay, final one. Who may have been the shortest man in the Bible?
That's more nice. Either Zacchaeus, he was so short he had to climb a tree to see Jesus, or Bildad the shoe height, or Nehemiah. We have some announcements. Thank you for your generous financial donations in the ministry and vision of the Gathering Church. You're welcome to offer your tithes at the offering box at the back or through online methods.
Next Sunday is our first Simple Gathering Sunday. It is a long weekend, and we are offering a Sunday of rest for the many volunteers who contribute to our weekly worship services. Next Sunday, we will meet out back of this community center at 10:30. Right out there. The children will play in the park while the adults enjoy a time of conversation and fellowship. The community center will not be open.
We'd like to welcome Catherine up for an announcement.
Good morning, Gathering Church. It is good to be part of community with you and also part of the Chandler Mowat community. About 3 months ago, one of the supervisors for community centers in Kitchener invited me to have a coffee with her, and at this time, she introduced me, the Gathering Church, to different grants that she would encourage us to apply for. And so about a month ago, we applied into, and Hannah, you can put it up, we applied into a neighborhood growth grant, or growing neighborhood grants, and on Thursday we found out that the city has given to the Gathering Church $7,000. So this morning we are talking about the importance of building walls around one another and how God is like a wall around us. And what I so deeply appreciate is that the city of Kitchener sees the Gathering Church as being a wall of protection and security and of hope to the Chandler Mowat community. And as they observe the church in action, they say, how can we participate in this as well? And so that $7,000 will go towards community suppers that will continue to run in the fall once the kitchen is renovated and ready to go. And also for our new initiative, which is a high school only community suppers, where the high schoolers from Snack Attack wondered with the Gathering Church adults there if we might have supper together with them so they can have conversation around the table with us and with one another. And so you'll hear more about those meals coming up in September. And we're just so very thankful for the city of Kitchener and for the many ways that God uses other places, people, and organizations to bless his good work.
All right, so now our scripture reading. It will consist of Nehemiah 9, which describes the people's act of worship after the building of the wall of Jerusalem. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and putting dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. They cried out with loud voices to the Lord their God.
The leaders said, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You gave life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you." This morning we are focusing on how the rebuilt wall around Jerusalem gave people hope, strength, and increased faith. At the gathering, we seek to build walls around each other and the community so that we too feel strengthened, hopeful, and stronger in our faith. I go to youth group every Wednesday night. At youth group, my faith is stronger because of how dedicated the youth leaders are. Every week, Meredith, Terry, Kate, and my dad would work hard to write a lesson to make my faith around God stronger. I am really thankful that you guys take the time to help all the youth in their journey with God. My faith is also stronger because of the time I have with friends at youth group. We have conversations about faith and can play games like Bible trivia or Jeopardy.
So in addition to going to youth group, each Sunday I help in Kids Zone, which is our Sunday school. I feel that actually teaching and witnessing the kids when creating feasible crafts, where kids, to my surprise, would ask one another questions about God and the Bible is when my faith becomes stronger. Because as corny as it sounds, when somebody asks, oh, why did the disciples do this or that? Or why did Paul write so much letters and all that he did? It really encourages me to intentionally think more about the stories and the tellings of the Bible instead of robotically reciting them off.
Let's pray. Strong and loving God, thank you that you are here this morning. Thank you that you guide the gathering church. Thank you that you invite us by your wall of protection, hope, and compassion to one another in the community. Thank you that for all the ways you've been faithful to the gathering this year. Amen. I'd like to invite Ellen and the children forward.
For the many who will come through Hidden Acres as staff, as campers, as single moms, and so we want to bless you and know that Gathering Church, we can be praying for Chris and Amanda as an extension of the ministry here. So thank you both. Let's pray together. And God, we are thankful that you are here with us this morning. We are thankful, God, that your word is alive and it is active. We thank you, God, that in your love for us, you desire for us to grow, to have a firm foundation in you, to follow your ways. So God, thank you that you have given us ears to hear and minds to be able to think and to digest and to be curious about your ways and your word. God, we're very mindful of the heat that is upon us now. And we are thinking of those who lack shelter or who lack places of coolness. God, we pray that even this community center, God, over the next few days will be a cooling place, will be a place of welcome for those who are struggling. God, we also recognize that we live in a globe that is experiencing violence and tension and unrest and loss. And God, we would ask that you would send your people of peace, your spirit of peace. God, that your wisdom would be alive in leaders and that they would make choices for the benefit of all humanity. God, thank you that in Nehemiah we read about you desiring for a wall of protection to be around your people. Thank you that you are our refuge and our strength and a mighty fortress. In your name we pray. Amen. So throughout our series on faith under construction, we have spent a lot of time focusing on the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem. And in an extraordinary feat of determination, of faith, and of unity, the wall was completed in just 52 days. This is an amazing thing that happened when people work together. The walls in the Bible symbolize strength and security. And most importantly, the wall served as a means of protection. A strong wall allowed for people to live without fear and to worship freely. Isaiah 60 paints a beautiful metaphorical picture of God being a wall. It reads, "No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory." Walls of salvation and gates of praise, and the glory of God being present always. The Gathering Church seeks to be a faith community that builds up walls of support, of care, and of prayer for one another and for the Chandler-Mowat community. And on Sunday mornings, as we saw so beautifully as our children were up front with us, our Christian education program is designed to build up the spiritual lives of the children. The kids' own teams, they invest in the spiritual, the social, and the emotional lives of our children. Bible stories give children a firm foundation. Working together allows the children to be known by one another and to know that they are part of the gathering church. The children pray for each other. They pray for our church. They pray for our community, and they pray for our global community, building up in them an understanding of God's sovereignty. And as a church, we know how much God loves and values children, so we create safe places for them, secure walls for them to grow strong in their faith. Brick by brick, our children are growing in understanding of God. I'm going to invite Claire up to come to share about how KidZone has helped her to grow in strength over the last number of years. Thanks, Claire, for being brave.
Hi, church. I'm Claire, and I'm in grade 5 for only 4 more days. I've gone to KidZone since I was 3. In September, I will be going to grade 6, and I am really excited because I'll be joining youth group. I have been waiting so long to go to youth group because they do so many fun things. KidZone has helped me learn more about Jesus and be a stronger person and use the gifts he has given me. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him, through gifts him who gives me strength. I have learned to pray by that who helps me to be courageous. I have learned that I am loved by God. God sees me and helps me to be who I am. Praying at Sunday school also helps me to know how much God cares about me and helps me. Just like brushing my teeth. The more I brush my teeth, the cleaner they are. The more I pray to God, the happier I am. I have so many friends at church and adults who encourage me and love me. Those people who keep growing into a stronger, caring girl. I want to say thank you to Ellen, Abigail, and Olivia, and all the teachers for teaching me more about God.
Thank you. I'm going to invite our children to come forward here in this area before you go to Sunday school, and Hannah's going to put up the blessing slide. And today marks the end of our ministry year. So this is our last day of Sunday school, KidZone, for this Sunday. We're going to stand up, Nico. So you guys are going to stand here, and you're going to look out at the congregation. So turn around and look out. And the congregation is going to read a blessing over you as you go into summertime, as you continue to grow. So congregation, we like to raise a hand to bless, offer a blessing. And we're going to read the words. And kids, you can listen in to our blessing over you together, Gathering Church. Children of the Gathering. Amen. Thanks, kids. Thanks, Ellen, Abigail, and Olivia, and all the other leaders. And you can go and enjoy your time in KidZone. I'm going to invite Rocco forward to share a word of thank you again, how we continue to work together to build walls through the Gathering Church's ministry.
It is my privilege this morning to express gratitude and thanks to all of you who serve at the Gathering Church in so many, many ways. Nehemiah 10:39 reads, "Do not neglect the house of the Lord." It wasn't too long ago that many churches, not just ours, experienced some dark times during COVID. And it was during that time when Doris and I just joined the church that someone on a Zoom Sunday morning church service said that we are the kind of church, most churches are, statistically speaking, most churches have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. And it was said during that Zoom meeting by someone, you may recall this, that in our church, 80% of the people do 80% of the people do 80% of the work. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to test this stat out. So I asked Doris, without telling her why, I said, Doris, give me just 10 random names of people at the Gathering Church. And I'm not going to name names. As soon as you start thanking individuals, then you're going to miss people. So these 10 names, who will remain a mystery to you, it wasn't 80% of them. It was 100% of them that served in preaching, music, Sunday school, after church cleanup, Mennonite relief sale, small group teaching, community suppers, board, Sunday morning video support, greeting, vision and care, snack attack, and I'm pretty sure that if I were to scrutinize these 10 names more closely, I've missed some things that they serve in. So thank you to these 10 people, and thank you to the many, many, many of you who serve, and I'm grateful, and on behalf of the board, I'd like to just say thank you, and it is because of how you serve and how deeply and well you serve that God has blessed us so deeply. Thank you.
Thanks, Rocco. A number of years ago, our niece was no longer able to live in her family home, and so we were asked if she would be welcome into ours. Terry, Jordan, Mallory, and I, we sat around a table, I remember this moment very clearly, and we discussed this and we prayed about it. And as we prayed, Jordan spoke words from God that quickly moved us to say yes. Jordan said, "It seems like Abby needs a wall around her, and we are called to be that wall." Jerusalem was vulnerable without its walls. The city was exposed to attack, and its people felt insecure, both physically and spiritually. And the walls of the city in ancient times, as we've talked about, they represented more than just defense. They were a symbol of strength, of protection, and of divine favor. And the broken walls of Jerusalem symbolized the brokenness of the people, their lost identity, and a loss of relationship with God. This destruction of the walls left the people exposed to great trouble and shame. The walls in the Bible offered people physical protection and hope for the days ahead. And the walls allowed them to grow as a community, focusing on one another and the work of their community versus always being on guard. Walls remind us of God's presence and of his love. Just like the ancient cities were fortified with walls of security, we too can have walls built around us, and we can be a wall around others, building up their security and hope in God and life's journey. In Scripture, words describing walls are used to show God's protective embrace. Psalm 192 reads, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." In Nehemiah, each section of the wall was assigned to a different group, and everyone played a part, showing how collective effort and unity were essential to the success of this mission. And in Nehemiah 3, there's a list of names of people that we don't even know. We spoke a couple Sundays ago that we'll never hear those names again, probably. And we might wonder, why are they even listed? And we determine that they show us how regular people heroically obeyed God and did their part to restore security and safety and a community. The words "next to him" and "after him" are mentioned 28 times in the chapter in Nehemiah. Everybody had something to do. Every man, every woman, every child participated in the rebuilding of the wall. And just like the rebuilding of the physical wall around Jerusalem, everyone in the church has a vital part to play. Scripture says, God makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other part to grow so that the whole body is healthy and full of love. Do you see the similarities here between the wall around an ancient city and the role of the church? Walls provided strength and security. Working together as a church creates a people that are spiritually healthy, growing, and full of love. We are to be builders of walls. In the New Testament, the theme of rebuilding takes on a spiritual dimension. The Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, often speaks of building up the church and individual believers. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he writes, "Therefore, encourage and build one another up, just as you are already doing." As a faith community, you respond so beautifully to the call to restore the walls around people. In the building of these walls of love and compassion and prayer, we as a church are extending God's love and strengthening each other's faith. I'm going to invite Tracy to come forward to share about how she has found a safe shelter and a place to grow in her faith at the gathering. Thank you, Tracy, for being brave as well this morning.
Hi, everyone. I have it written down, so. My name is Tracy, and I've been coming to the gathering for about a year and a half. In the connection of our focus for the story of building a strong wall around Jerusalem, Catherine asked me to share a bit about me and how the gathering, the people of the gathering, has been a source of strength and encouragement to me. I was born and raised a good little Catholic girl. I went to church with my family and went to Catholic school until the end of grade 10. Changed to public, not for any religious reasons, just money back then. I had stopped attending regular Mass as a teenager. My mom was a single mom and felt ashamed to go to church, and she wouldn't take communion because she was divorced and it was a sin. I never understood this. The older I got, the more I disliked the Catholic religion as a whole. Once it started to come out about all the child abuse, I was done. I called myself a recovering Catholic. I struggled with the guilt and the confession, which drove me further away from the church. I still believed in God and wanted him in my life, but having lived many years in fight or flight mode, I just really did not have the space. In fall 2023, I met Catherine at Barb's birthday party and found her to be a lovely and welcoming, which is what I believed church should be. This planted the seed to return to Christian beliefs. Barb and I spoke about God and church, and I told her I would like to come and see what her church is all about. I expressed to her I was looking for peace and community. I saw peace and well-being in coworkers who are Christians and decided I wanted this for myself. I started my journey back to God with regular attendance at the gathering and felt like I found a place to belong. No attendance checks or reprimands for not being there, just love, acceptance, and happiness. I started to look for God in other places, and being part of the church has helped me learn that God sees and loves me and is in support of me. I still struggle with reading the Bible. This may not be my road with God. What is helping me the road with God is prayer and really learning to leave things with God and trust he sees me. I enjoy being part of the gathering and look forward to many more years here. I am seeking peace in my daily life, getting rid of negativity, and seeking goodness. I save memes from Facebook that have meaning to me. I have stopped following anyone who doesn't fit into my vision. I am grateful that Barb has been my faithful friend for close to 20 years. I am proud to say the gathering is my church.
Thanks, Tracy. I remember one Sunday looking out and realizing, oh, you're part of the gathering now. It's those moments that happen where someone shifts from being a guest to being a part of the community. And we're so very glad that you're here and that you're contributing in. In Nehemiah 2:17, we read about Nehemiah's call to the people. Nehemiah said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruin, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." As Christians, we are urged to actively participate in repairing and maintaining our spiritual walls and to be a wall for others. To build up strong walls of faith, it takes effort on the behalf of our faith community. As a church, we desire to walk with each other, to encourage one another, to study the ways of God together, and to pray with and for one another. God designed the church community as a vital support system. God created the church as a vital support system. In Scripture, there are many passages that describe how believers can be a wall for one another. There are over 50 commands in the New Testament which offer valuable instruction of how we can build one another up. We call these the one another statements, and there are over 50 of them. I'm going to read a couple of them to you today, and these help us know how to build up a wall around one another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving and thankfulness in your hearts to God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, or a holy hug, or a holy high five. One of the ways that we seek to be the walls of strength and support for one another is through participation in small groups. There will be new small groups offered in the fall, which we really hope that you'll choose to participate in. And now I'm going to invite Daniel up to share about how men's group has been like a wall of support around him. Thanks, Daniel, for being brave.
Hello, everyone. All right, so about 10 years ago, Meredith and I started to attend the gathering, and something that I had longed for was the experience of having kind of a small group of men who would get together and wrestle with Scripture and to pray for one another and for people that we have a heart for. It's something that I was missing in life, and I was just delighted when we started attending here that is something that has been happening here. So really appreciate, I guess, 10 years of having that opportunity. It was kind of fitting as I showed up today. I don't know if you noticed Ed here today. Great to see you, Ed. And he was somebody who was attending the gathering back then. And the early days were actually in Ed's basement. He opened up his basement to us, and great memories back then. So I think my first point of what encourages me and strengthens me about the gathering, I guess the first thing to mention, Catherine and Jim and Steve over the years, I find that the gathering, our heart for reaching out to the community and not just showing up on Sunday morning and singing, but having a real heart for people is something that encourages me. And I'm the kind of person where if I'm around others and I'm not kind of resonant, that kind of, it just takes a little bit of life out of me. But conversely, when you're with other people and you just feel that resonant spirit, it's a real encouragement and strength. So I love that about the spirit of our congregation, the pastors, and also, as I mentioned, men's group. So next point is, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. And for me personally, one of the things I love about men's group is that is actually where I feel closest to God. It would be interesting to chat with each of you and say, where is that spot? Is it here on Sunday? Is it a quiet time in the morning? But for whatever reason, getting together with guys and wrestling with Scripture and praying, that is when I feel most connected to God. So that's a big thing. Next thing is, I'm the kind of person, I'm a little bit of a thinker. I'm a little bit introverted. I like to think about ideas, and men's group does offer that possibility of not just hearing a sermon, not just reading something, but engaging, you know, sharing an interesting idea, bouncing it off of one another, so I love that. Next thing is, there is some opportunity to lead as well. So over the years, typically it's been a pastor. We lost Steve a couple years ago, and that was a loss from the men's group, but one of the ways that we've made lemonade out of lemons a little bit is we've been able to share the leading. And what I have found, whether it's Sunday school or men's group, is that leading isn't just sort of a duty and getting a job done, but it's also an opportunity. Anytime you're, I'm sure you can all relate to this, anytime that you've been given an opportunity to lead, it's also an opportunity to grow and strengthen yourself. And finally, I'll just say prayer. Like, when I think about what does God want to have a body of believers, one of the just visions that comes to my mind, rightly or wrongly, is I think that he loves it when we get together, and especially even men, we get together and we're willing to be vulnerable with one another to share what we need prayer for and to pray. I just think that's a really holy thing, and just value that we do that. So thank you.
Thanks, Daniel. Finally, as a faith community, we are invited to be a wall for those who suffer due to a lack of resources, support, or community. Isaiah 25:4 describes being a wall of refuge around people in need. It reads, "You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat." And here, God's character is reflected as one who cares deeply for those who are in need. He acts as a shelter, much like the protective walls that guard against the enemies and the elements. And this highlights our collective responsibility to reach out to the many who may lack the same protection that we have to enjoy. So we, as a gathering church, we are invited to continue to bear the love and the hope of God to the surrounding community. We are helping to build up the community with strength and with security. People find hope in knowing that the gathering church chooses to participate in the life of their community. And as God's church, we usher his peace into this community. As we mentioned earlier, the city of Kitchener sees the gathering church as repairers and as rebuilders of walls that have been broken down. And just like King Artaxerxes, the city has entrusted us with financial provision to support us in continuing to strengthen the walls around this community. So thank you, church, for being walls to one another, for coming and saying, "I think I need a wall around me right now," and for being a wall to those with less and for those in this Chandler Mohawk community. May we continue to be people who build up walls, and may we be people courageous enough to say, "I need a wall around me right now," and know that we will come and be around you. Let's pray, and then we'll sing our last song. God, it seems like you have called the gathering church to be builders and repairers of walls. Would you, God, give us confidence? Would you give us hope? And would you give us energy for this journey that you have called us into? Thank you, God, that you are our strong refuge and fortress. In you we trust. Amen. This is, again, the end of a ministry year. For many, we are going into the rhythms of summer, and so we might not be seeing each other as consistently as we do during the year. And so what we're going to do is we're going to close. Hannah, you can put that last slide up. We're going to offer a blessing to one another, the same blessing that we offer to our children. But I want you to kind of look at the screen and look at each other. I don't know how you can do that. But if you can turn to face each other, you know what's going to be easier? I'm going to read it, and you're going to read the line back. So look at one another. We're going to bless each other, and I'll read it, and you say it back to each other. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. May you know God's ways this summer. If you'd like prayer this morning, please come forward. Thanks, everyone, for being here and for sharing.